Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring all-electric and hybrid electric technologies. Learn more about the technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at Ford.com/technology.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 44, recorded on Monday, January 23rd, 2012, however you want to say it. This is your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I am Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards, and we're very calm this week. This is very zen. I like it.
Did I start off very zen?
Yeah, exactly.
You did.
It's not going to end that way. It's not going to end that way at all. It's going to be
This is
up
a false teaser to what we have up in store.
Get some energy in here.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, we've got Google earnings, the Transformer Prime.
Wow.
My new friend. And all of the arena apps, like we talked about last time, were created since January 1st of this year.
Mm-hmm. And we got, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I got people like suggest, like, check out my app.
Yeah, which is pretty cool, right?
That's how I picked my app, actually.
Really? Yeah.
Really? You got it from somebody?
Yep.
Thank you, everybody who sent in suggestions, because it was kind of hard. But actually, Chad told me a really good place to go, which was AppBrain, because they have the newest apps on there.
I think we all have our, I don't want to reveal where I was finding my sources, but it's like, you know, like we all found our little corners of the internet where we find.
I was like, oh.
No, I found a site that keeps a running
log,
and it's like a web log where they post. No, I'm just kidding. It's a blog, and they.
I'm going to go ahead and call it a blog.
What is this web log you talk about?
But they just keep track of new apps that come out and rate them and stuff like that. Yeah, so it's probably similar to what AppBrain does. But yeah,
okay.
But,
so. All right.
Did you find your first pick on that site?
Oh, here we go.
I did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get to that later.
We'll get to that. There's a controversy within this behind the scenes. But you know what? We got so much to talk about. Let's get into our news.
So one of the most exciting moments in any tech pundit's career is the about once every 3 months or so where we get to hear quarterly earnings from the company.
I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Quarterly earnings.
Touchdown. Oh, damn. That's the wrong thing.
If you're lucky, you get to be one of the chosen few investors who get to be on the conference call with hundreds of people where you sit there and listen to people talk about P&L and revenue and things like that. But it's also often a good place for news and key indicators to key parts of businesses, and Google is no different. They recently announced their Q4 earnings, and in that announcement, we got a whole bunch of information about how Android is performing. Over 250 million Android devices have been activated. Over 11 billion apps have been downloaded. They're saying they're averaging about 700,000 Android activations per day, which is the roughly the population of San Francisco proper.
Nearly.
250 million total Android devices activated to date. Like we said, 11 billion app downloads, up to 1 billion in a month. So, and it's important to note that when they talk about activations, those are new phones being lit up. So even though I'm an Android user, if I got a new phone and activate it, that would count towards this. So it's not as if there are 250 million people using Android devices. It's just that there are 250 million Android devices that have been activated. So that's an important distinction. So, but still, but it looks to be, you know, pretty positive numbers from Google for Android, I guess. I'm sure there are going to be detractors and analysis and gotchas and infographics and things like that. But I don't know.
This is not going to change. This number continues to rise. There is really a whole lot more to say about, you know, new to say about this kind of stuff that we haven't already said before. I did see another study earlier, and we were kind of going back and forth on whether to include it, but it kind of ties into this, which is just seeing kind of the growth for developers, development for Android, and how Android, this one particular study, I can't remember who did it off the top of my head, but they're basically predicting that by year's end, Android is going to have more apps launching on Android versus launching first on iOS or simultaneously between both, which kind of seems like a no-brainer, especially when you consider just the sheer number of
devices. If you're a developer, I was having this conversation over the weekend. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a developer, and he's talking about getting into the mobile game. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about startups and companies and stuff like that that do an app on iOS and not on Android, or vice versa, which happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, if I was running a product right now, if I was running a company, you got to launch on both platforms. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to do it, because why would you turn off such a large audience? Like, I understand focusing mm-hmm. and things like that, but still, the potential is huge.
Well, and with Ice Cream Sandwich, that's why I feel like that actually could happen finally. Yeah. With the unification that Ice Cream Sandwich is supposed to promise. So only time will tell. Maybe we should mark this date a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
See
yep.
if that's actually true.
January 23rd.
But, tomorrow, the flip analysis will be out there on the
No, app. Absolutely. That's always the way it is.
Today, I don't know. I hate these pseudo reports, these pseudo...
Well, that's why I said we're going to get an infographic, and there's somebody going to be like, well, Apple reported, Apple's going to say iOS says this, and if you really break it down, mm-hmm. of those 250 million, so-and-so are running,
exactly.
1.6 still, and
That was a research and analysis firm, Ovum, by the way. Which I can't say that I've heard of before.
Oh, haven't?
I don't know.
You guys haven't talked about Ovum at Tech News today?
Possibly, but I don't remember hearing Ovum.
Right.
But which is not to say anything. I just don't recall it right now.
so that's what I think. It's word association, Ovum.
Yeah.
All right, sorry.
So that's that. Moving on. Apple has decided to go after the Galaxy Nexus in German court based on its slide to unlock implementation. This being the first time Apple has targeted a Nexus device with patent claims. What's most obvious to me is that Apple's single direction, single function slide to unlock is much different, actually, than the Ice Cream Sandwich implementation, where depending on the direction that you go, different apps or actions actually take place. Obviously, we're not patent experts here, but I actually did take a little bit of time to take a look at the patent. This is more than I normally do.
You dove in? Yeah, you rolled up your sleeves.
Yeah, just to kind of see, because I feel like patents, as with these numbers reports, come up all the time. And so often it's very easy for me to just be like, I don't understand it, whatever. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's Apple's utility model specifically calls out that sliding to unlock merely transitions the user to a second user interface state. Not necessarily that it transitions the user to an unlocked device. So if you kind of follow that phrasing, it's very open-ended. Any sliding that results in the transition to anything else, be it an application, a state, whatever, could be covered by this. Yeah. So,
those lawyers, man. Sometimes they're craftier. Craftier than the developers that they're documenting and writing about. Do you think a developer, when he did the slide thing, thought, "Ooh, this could be patented and apply to any change in state of user interface"? Come on,
they get those innovations and then they parse those words so that they're covered. The Mannheim Regional Court set to rule on this actually on March 16th, 2012. Ultimately, what are we really going to see? Probably some sort of licensing deal.
Yeah, they want money.
And we're probably hardly ever going to hear. We're going to hear about the follow-up and maybe hear about what that results in. But I just have a hard time thinking that things really change in the end. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing.
It's just the licensing thing.
Yeah, so it's a play for licensing. And because it's in Germany, they've got to play by Germany's legal rules and all things like that. But it's totally – we see Microsoft make a huge portion of their business purely from licensing. So,
I do find it interesting that a lot of this is happening in Germany and not other places. But also in kind of some of the reading that I was doing today, I guess – in the German courts, maybe possibly this one in particular, is very tech savvy. And so that's probably why they're putting it in front of them as people who would actually understand to a certain level these claims versus other courts.
Now, I'm not a lawyer and I have to clarify that. but is there any sort of precedence? Like, is the kind of thing of Germany passes this and then can they go to like the US or another or the EU and be like, well, Germany said that this is valid.
Right.
Does international precedent apply?
Yeah, does that roll over from one country to the other?
Because I know precedent, something really happens here, some sort of legal action, and then another case goes, well, in that case, they said this, but does it apply outside of our borders? I have no idea. So,
Titus in the chat room thinks you look like a lawyer.
Not with these sideburns.
So you need a lawyer? Call me, Ron Richards.
Asbestos. Well,
speaking of overseas, there are ads in the notification bar on Android phones in Japan. Those who have KDDI phones out there. And that's just popping out recently. There's a quick still. Of course, I can't really understand. It's all in Japanese. Yeah.
I got to say, I can't believe it took this long.
Yeah?
I'm kind of surprised.
I don't want this. I don't want this.
Yeah, no. I kind of want that control thing, though. That's kind of cool. Is that the notification pane? Is the control?
Is
a lot of the a lot of the... The like the HTC, maybe not some. I can't remember on HTC. HTC, it's a full list or whatever. Yeah. But I think on Samsung, doesn't Samsung?
Have that? Oh, yeah, I don't have that. Oh, that's pretty cool.
The Samsungs that aren't
you
Nexuses.
Don't have,
I don't want to show my.
Oh, yeah, don't show that.
I got a phone number here.
Hold on. Don't have, but we don't have that WiMAX icon like that's in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so ads appearing in your notification pane, too intrusive.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
No, I don't like that.
I got an ad on a text message ad the other day, and that
text message ads are insidious. Yeah. Those are really
that freaked me out. Yeah. So no, I don't want
to. Because you could potentially be paying for those ads in that case.
Right.
In this case, it's kind of interesting. Like I have a hard time thinking that this would happen, but then carriers. I guess you never know. I guess on one side, it's kind of like you're paying for the phone, but most people in the U.S. or a lot of people are paying, subsidizing their phone. They're not paying entirely for their phone. Right. I could see the case for if you're paying outright for your phone, not having this because you bought it fair and square, and that shouldn't be there. But if you're just if you're just paying $200 a subsidized price for your phone, I could kind of see the carriers coming back and saying, "Yeah, well, this is how we also subsidize your price." Well,
I mean, it's similar to Amazon and how they're subsidizing the price on the Kindle and the Kindle Fire, the ad model, stuff like that. But the question is this ad being served up by the carrier to the phone, or is it being served up by another app that just says, as opposed to drawing the ad inside the app, trigger the notification? Because if that's the case, then that's even then you accepted some sort of EULA said you're open to advertising, and then I can't even imagine. I mean, ads on widgets. I mean, would you use the phone that had a set ad widget and the
I would try to delete that widget somehow.
What if you paid less on your bill? An ad supported phone.
It's expensive to have a monthly. Your monthly bill is.
You want to text somebody and you got to watch a 15-second video ad.
Oh, that would drive me crazy. No.
No, that would drive me
crazy. So, really, no. Yeah. And like this article here from Engadget says, to any American carriers considering a similar move, don't think about it.
Of course, they're thinking about it.
Oh, of course. I'm surprised they haven't already thought. I mean, I'm surprised it hasn't happened already.
Here we go.
Well, obviously it's possible. So. let's take a quick email here. Captain Temerity writes in and says, is that your real name, by the way?
That's a great name. Okay.
I love that name. Awesome. Wait, are you Captain Temerity?
No.
Oh, no. Nice. We have Captain Temerity in the audience.
What are the odds?
This is weird.
That's great.
We have an audience member in.
All right, well, I guess I'm talking to you.
We're
going to answer your question
So,
live.
Captain, say, I've got an Evo that I put CyanogenMod 7 on. It runs mostly fine, but I have an issue when I want to listen to it at night through a pillow speaker. Some apps work fine, such as Google Music playing from internal storage, Dolphin HD browser on the Twit Live page, but others like Pandora or the Sirius Radio app last for a couple of minutes and then the phone goes to sleep, so they shut off. Tried moving the apps over to the phone's internal memory as opposed to the memory card, but it doesn't seem to make a difference. Is there a way to get the phone to not go into sleep mode when I have it plugged in, either to power or to the headphone jack? Is there a setting I'm missing somewhere? I suppose the answer here is your phone gingerbread or ice cream sandwich? I guess it would be gingerbread. Okay, so you've got gingerbread. There should be in the settings, applications, development, there's an option in there to stay awake. If it's in Ice Cream Sandwich, just for everyone listening and watching, Ice Cream Sandwich is a little different. It's settings, developer options, and then stay awake in there. And they have that so that if it's plugged in, the screen never turns off, essentially, and that'll kind of keep it awake. Do you think that would solve the problem? Okay.
All right.
He says he's hoping.
He says he's hoping. I love having this instant like feedback. This is great.
Amazing. If any other questions
so
while
bizarre.
You're here.
He really did not know that the person who wrote the email was going to be in the audience. Just
pop in and show yourself real quick.
Wave.
That's
this
hilarious.
Is Captain Temerity.
Yeah, we had no idea.
Come around right here. There you go.
There he is.
Captain Temerity. This is his real name.
What's your name? Where are you from?
My name's Corey. I live in Runner Park.
Cool.
Corey from Runner Park.
Nice. Right. Red.
This or watch you guys on the review.
Oh, okay.
Well, right I hope on. You still do that anyway. All right, good. There you go.
Well, thanks for making us feel special and coming to watch the show and sending us a great email that we chose without even knowing that you were going to be here. That's
might be
awesome.
The greatest thing that's ever happened to me on the podcast, by the way. I've had a lot of podcasting hours under my belt, but that's never happened.
I know,
awesome.
Totally, right? I don't think that's ever happened to me either. Okay, cool. Let's take a quick break. And thank our sponsor, Ford, featuring all-electric and hybrid electric technologies. Two new vehicles that Ford is bringing to its electric technologies are the 2012 Ford Focus Electric and the 2013 C-Max Energy Plug-in Hybrid. Now, both models make use of a regenerative braking system, which can capture around 90% of kinetic energy lost in conventional engines due to friction, to heat. System lends... then takes that energy and sends it back to a battery pack for later use. A suite of driver information systems onboard and offboard to kind of help you manage and recharge process, determine all those eco-friendly driving modes and driving routes that you can maneuver through, remotely control your vehicle charge, preconditioning settings, all that kind of stuff. There's also a unique execution of sync with MyFord Touch Driver Connect technology, which we've talked about a lot in the past, optimized for electrified driving, for configuring your vehicle information, things like power level, battery power level, average and instant miles per gallon, all that. MyFord Mobile actually is a smartphone app that you can use to do lots of things. Program charge settings, download that vehicle data for analysis if you want to get nerdy with it later, access vehicle status such as a state of charge, current range, and then value charging powered by Microsoft, which allows Ford customers to reduce their electricity costs and take advantage of off-peak and reduced rates from their utility without a complicated setup process. Now, additionally, the 2012 Ford Focus Electric, which is an all-electric vehicle without a gasoline engine, that fully charges in 3 to 4 hours through a 240-volt home charging station. That Leviton charging station recommended by Ford is actually available through your dealer as well. So it's 100% electric and zero CO2 emissions, has a lithium-ion battery. Pretty cool stuff. Allows you to kind of top off the charge without reducing the lifespan of the battery, as some batteries are known to do. This is not the case here. So as far as availability is concerned, the 2012 Ford Focus Electric is actually available for reservations now. The 2013 Ford C-Max Energy Plug-in Hybrid is coming in the fall of 2013, and specifications are definitely subject to change with production vehicles, so definitely stay tuned to their site to find out more. That's Ford.com/technology, and you can learn more about the electric technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles. It's Ford.com/technology. And thank you for sponsoring All About Android, Ford. You're awesome.
Thank you.
I'm seeing more and more Fords in the city. And like, and I always do like the double take. Like, I was like,
is that the new one?
Well, yeah, exactly. Because we see this so much. And then when I was at Rev3, I got to drive one for a little while and stuff like that. So it's cool to see them like out in the open in the wild. You know, I'm like, yeah, it's cool.
I'm not saying we're in the market for a new car, but if I was, my older car is starting to have a few too many problems. But we'll see. We will see.
All right, let's move into hardware.
So I don't know about you guys, but you know I like to relax. I like to have
a kind of zen.
It's a zen.
No, I don't like to relax.
Not until the arena, but right now it's very chill.
And
we're
all
nice.
It was over the weekend, and I'm wondering how can I just want to curl up with a book, maybe take a bath, and just light a couple candles and whatever. But then.
See you doing that.
What stops me is that I can't really, now that I'm reading all my books on my tablet, on the Zoom or on the iPad, I can't really you can't risk getting it anywhere near water.
Yeah.
Not anymore. because Pantech Elements waterproof LTE tablet is now available on AT&T.
I love the way he segued into that about getting to a tub with candles.
It was gonna be really nice. It was gonna be some me time.
Oh, you know, me time. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, me time.
But so now, if I were to go to AT&T for $299, I can get the Pantech Element, which is a waterproof LTE tablet, which is waterproof up to 30 feet underwater. So you could actually take it on vacation with you. And I think we have some video from CES that we're showing here now.
Yeah, Pantech came up to our stage and showed it off. So I didn't actually touch it. I don't think.
I don't know how they do it. It does. And the thing is, it doesn't look like those cheesy waterproof cameras with like the yellow cases. Do you remember those? Like
back, yeah, yeah, no, it's a but, typical.
Yeah, it's just that. And so it happens to be waterproof up to 30 feet underneath underwater. It's running a 1.5 gigahertz dual-core Snapdragon processor, and it's got something Pantech calls enhanced haptic feedback. But the thing is, it's not currently running Ice Cream Sandwich, but they say it's going to be upgradable to Ice Cream Sandwich later this year. But the interesting thing about AT&T, and if you're in the market for a phone as well, if you can get the Element for $299 for a two-year contract, but you can also save $50 and get it for $249 if you sign up for another contract and a second data plan that goes along with it and includes their Burst smartphone. The Pantech Android smartphone. Oh. So if you were in the market for a phone and a tablet, you know, and you really, you scuba dive.
$249,
not bad.
Really,
unfortunately, I don't believe the Pantech Burst smartphone is waterproof either. So, so you'd have to leave your phone on the boat, take the tablet, go to scuba diving.
It's a serious downside.
Yeah, exactly.
For the hardcore scuba.
But what's interesting is that they're both available on AT&T right now. So if you wanted it, you can go get it right now. So
yeah, 30 feet. That's a maybe not scuba levels entirely.
Snorkel?
Yeah, snorkel. I'm thinking.
I gotta admit, safely
snorkel.
30 feet is deeper than any water I've been in for the past 10 years. So that's
but you know, that's when it starts to break. So you don't want to go near
right,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
So okay. Snorkel, you'll be okay.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get one in Hawaii when I'm there next week, and I'll snorkel
you
should. With it.
There you go. Okay, yeah, challenge.
That's my challenge.
There you go.
That's my Android challenge.
Android challenge.
Yes. Take a week off.
All right. So Asus, I have a feeling we're going to be hearing a lot about them in a second here. But before we do, this is my lead-in. My
you
professional
just got the first
lead-in
base
here.
For the Transformer.
I did.
Wow, and
I'm
I didn't
so
even see it. The Asus promised through their Facebook site that the Transformer, the original Transformer, not the Prime, is going to be getting Ice Cream Sandwich mid-February. So if you, and we know that we have a lot of fans of the show that have the Transformer, we've heard from all of you, I think, about how we need to play around with the Transformer more, you will be getting Ice Cream Sandwich by mid-February. Either that or whoever this was from Asus. Well, it's Asus North America, so the entire company is wrong if you don't. There you go.
Wow.
Before we move on, the chat room clarified that it's 30 feet in fresh water, not salt water. So maybe not Hawaii. But if you're going to a lake or some other thing.
Yeah, or if your hotel has a 30-foot deep pool.
Thank you, chat room, for not giving me
salt water
while I'm gone.
The chat room also gets the literal award for someone saying, why would you bring a tablet underwater? Come on.
Well, some of them have cameras. They could take pictures of the fish.
Chat room, we love you for so
yes,
many
exactly.
reasons.
I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. Okay, on with the Transformer.
All right, well, here we go.
The Transformer Prime.
This is the Transformer Prime model TF201, and I've played with it for the last, since Friday. So,
and will you ever let go of it?
I'm trying. I asked Leo, I said, can I play with it first for Monday's show? He's like, oh, yeah. And then I do got to give it to the chief pretty soon. But he's probably going to take this to Live with Kelly, is my guess.
Okay.
He does that show. So, he's going to have to play with it. But I don't want to part with it. It's so great. All right. So, as advertised, this is the Transformer Prime with NVIDIA Tegra 3 quad core. That is very important. Quad core. And that is why I am jumping with joy. 10.1-inch screen, Gorilla Glass, ISP, which is in-plane switching, and they're advertising that as something that gives you better angles and better outdoor viewing. There's also a super ISP mode, super IPS mode. The one that I have here has Ice Cream Sandwich, and I'll show you the actual device itself working in just a minute. And it's also 32 gigs. There is a 64 gig available. What I love about it is that the tablet itself, apart if you don't get the dock, has a micro SD card slot. I don't even know where to begin.
Before the show aired, we were playing with it, and mm-hmm. what was my reaction? It looks like a laptop.
Yeah.
I believe this was your reaction.
So, Chad, it was just scarily
accurate. That's the truth. I was slack-jawed in my amazement. Yeah. It looks like a MacBook Air.
It does. It looks like a laptop in the dock itself. It's not a cheap, chintzy keyboard dock that goes along with it that you could find elsewhere. It's got 1080p HD video playback and HDMI out. Chad, do we have that video really quickly of me playing? Now, I connected. Now, the dock itself has a USB, and so I connected a PSP controller. I had a little bit of issues. For some reason, I couldn't... None of the buttons were using the fire, so I couldn't fire at anything, but watch me move around.
It was up here.
I know, but I was...
But that wasn't working?
It wasn't working either, yeah.
Oh, okay, because that's what I did on the stage. And then,
exactly, yeah. So there, I hooked it up to my 24-inch monitor in my office, and that's what it looked... I mean, hello? Doesn't that look awesome?
If you can hook up to an external monitor, you can use this as your laptop and to watch video. Like, that's amazing.
Exactly. So here, I'm just showing you what... it looks like. Now, it just mirrors. If you're watching the video, when you hook it up to your external monitor, it mirrors. For those of you out there, I had no problems with GPS, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But I think there it is. Oh, and here showing. Now, when I played Netflix.
Star Trek.
it showed on the monitor, but you know, went black on the actual Prime.
Oh, that's interesting. But the controls were on the Prime.
The controls were on the Prime.
Interesting.
So that's just a thank you to Colleen Kelly, who had said, "Hey, how did you try out the HDMI out?" I'm like, "Oh my god, I hadn't." So I went ahead and did that today before the show. All right. Couple things, again, no GPS or Wi-Fi problems to me. Apparently, other models or older models that have upgraded to Ice Cream Sandwich, there is major GPS issues for a lot of people out there. And the common theory prior to the update stated that the Prime's metal backplate was interfering with the GPS radio. That could still be the case, but it seems likely now that satellite information is provided by a data connection. You know, it's funny that they say that the metal back plate was interfering with GPS because I think it interferes with the camera. I don't like the camera on this. Not that it really matters. It's nice to have it on there just for sort of like data. Like, oh, let me just take a quick picture if I have it with me.
But it's
really awful. Some of the pictures are really grainy and there's weird flares where they don't need to be. And if I use my phone, it takes a better picture. So I'm not really excited about the camera. But that, a lot of you really don't care about. 8 megapixel back camera, don't really care for. 1.2 megapixel front camera. It's super snappy. Maybe let me show you just what I mean by snappy if we can take my screen here. So if I go to the apps, there's no lag. And if you compare it to the Zoom,
Can we try a comparison here? All right, this is the first gen Motorola Zoom that's running a dual core.
Yeah, with Ice Cream Sandwich.
With Ice Cream Sandwich. So I installed Ice Cream Sandwich over the weekend. So go to the apps. All right, ready?
Okay. Do you see that there's a slight, maybe you can't see it, but there is a slight.
You can see it. Yeah, you can see it when you're looking at it in person.
There's a slighter lag there. And then you don't have my games, but.
I don't have your games. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I have pinball, though.
All right. The keyboard dock itself has a USB port, which is great. Also has an SD card slot. So, geez, there's even more ways to get, media on here. And it was really easy to transfer files once I did that a couple times with video and with music. Battery life is actually pretty decent. Now, I worked it really hard for 4 hours. So Saturday between 11 and 3 p.m., it started at 100% and then it ended at like 34%. I put the dock in and then it kept me going for the rest of the day and I didn't even have to recharge. The cost is I've seen costs between $400 to $600 on the tablet, depending upon where you're going to get it. And the dock is another additional $200 to $250. Now, things that I'm really impressed about are obviously Ice Cream Sandwich on this. As you could see here, I'm going to pull this and drop it in and make it, there it goes, into my Google folder. Again, app switching. There we go. You could see here I have a widget here for the e-pad versus the keyboard and the charge. So you can see how it's right now. I don't know if you can see this here, but it's actually the keyboard is charging the tablet itself.
So the keyboard is charged. Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Right now. Yeah. But let me take it out.
Let's detach it.
It's very easy to take out.
I got to admit, like, that was the one thing I thought about. And it's got two, looks like it's got two proprietary connectors here.
There is a proprietary, that is actually a con.
Well, no, but that's okay because it felt more sturdy. Like, that was like, because it was just going into a little micro USB thing.
Totally.
I didn't worry about it breaking, but it looks like, so it's got two little clips here, and then there's a proprietary iPod-esque connector right there. Yeah.
Go ahead, since you're showing that, show the USB port here. It's a USB port, and then this is the SD card slot here. You want to pop it out? Yeah. That's just a plastic. Oh!
What? That was awesome.
That's what we
unsee.
But the power connector itself is proprietary as well. oh, here I am looking really sad. Okay, so let me show you. Now, the big thing about the NVIDIA Tegra 3 dual core are games. And I'll go back. Oh, let me play the other game here. Sorry. Oh, did it lock up on me?
Oh, it was launching the game, apparently.
It's launching the game.
Nope.
Wait. So here I am playing games itself. I mean, it moves really nice. I suck at this game. This is Shadow Gun.
Is this a game that you can only play on the
I don't know.
The Transformer Prime. What is it? Shadow Gun. Cuz I think this is what they were showing off at CES.
They were showing off this at CES. And then let me show you a different game here cuz I suck at that. And that was what I was playing connected to my laptop. This game here, Riptide GP, really uses the gyroscope and to play. And Ron, this is the one that you were really impressed with, right?
I got a high score, I believe.
It doesn't do micro USB charger Tech Ace 01. This is a proprietary power connector.
That's kind of annoying. Yeah, that's
a con. Nobody likes that. But Samsung is doing that.
The proprietary power.
Yeah.
Charging and stuff. Does it even have any USB like 2.0 like
on the
connectors?
Dock.
Just on the dock, but not the tablet itself.
So here we go. The graphics itself looks really nice. I mean, this is what they're. Oh my god, I really suck. Sorry,
it's hard to do it at an angle.
It's really hard to play these games at an angle.
I got a high score before, so you're not going to beat me.
That looks really good.
Well, it looks amazing.
The water.
There's a lot of.
I always love to kind of see how they render water, and the water.
What I have to say about this device, it is the first device that I feel is a really, really big competitor to the iPad, and I really feel like if the apps come like they say, like that report says that they will, this is, well, Android. Yeah. You know, this is the answer. This is the best Android tablet that I've
held. That's the one
ever.
Thing. I mean, not to get to detract from the tablet itself, but we were starting to see pretty Android phone apps like Card Case and stuff like that start to happen. I haven't really been wowed by design of tablet specific apps yet, and so that's kind of what I'm excited to see now. There's more and more of these coming. You know.
All right,
this is amazing. It's amazing.
It's an amazing game. They preload the Transformer Prime. At least I don't know if it's already reviewing it, but I've got a bunch of games. Look at your. Isn't this one of the games that you?
Sprinkle.
Sprinkle is preloaded.
Which
on
I think
here.
is a Tegra 2 minimum requirement. So that's probably why they put that on there.
A couple things. So, Ice Cream Sandwichy settings wise. ASUS has a lot of different, I don't know if this is, I'm pretty sure this is ASUS here. There's settings you could go. Saving mode, general power here. You can turn on Bluetooth here. I'm not quite sure. We don't have that on Honeycomb. I think it's ASUS, though.
No, that looks like ASUS. So it's almost like they have an overlay, but it's a very minimal overlay.
It's very light.
Like
And these are all preloaded widgets. Again, I don't really want to get into the camera quality, but it wasn't that great on this.
So it sounds like the cons are the camera, the proprietary plug, and that's really it.
And then just more apps, really.
Some
would argue the price. Here's video playback. Let me get to something light here. It's not bad.
Are you watching Grammar Girl again?
Gossip Girl.
Grammar Girl.
Grammar Girl's a much different show.
Vampire Diaries.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, the music, the speaker itself is, where is it right here? It's right here. It's kind of on one side. I don't know if you can see.
But there's a headphone jack, so.
Yeah, there's a headphone jack. So I've seen some complaints about the speaker itself.
Yeah.
But
Being loud enough
or
just kind of being muffly.
Or whatever, because it's here on the back on just this one side,
right.
Not on both sides.
Oh, so it's not on both sides, not speaker, stereo.
But I think it's, I still think it's great. I mean, to sum it up, it's the best Android tablet that I've played with.
It really, it's talk about hype that delivers. This is actually, it's believe the hype.
Dance, everybody.
And what about the cost on this?
I mentioned it was $499 to $600, depending on where you... Sorry, guys.
It's definitely an expensive tablet.
Yes,
it is. So $400 to $600?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
$600. Yeah. And then if the reason you're getting it is that dock, that's another $250.
Exactly. And so I had to remind myself when I put it in the dock that it wasn't a replacement for... my laptop. It's very close. It just, some of the apps need to be updated, like Google Docs. I use it all the time. So for spreadsheets, horrible. I can't, that's the app. That's not the hardware.
Right. Well, what's interesting is that the keyboard dock has a trackpad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, it's really close. It's really close to being a laptop replacement.
It's almost too close for it not to be a replacement for your laptop at that point. Because you're paying price. You're at least paying a lower end laptop price.
Yep.
And you have apparently, you know, by the looks of the keyboard and everything, the apparent functionality is there. But if it can't replace your laptop, I mean, that's kind of a downside.
It's very, very close, though.
I don't know if I necessarily would blame ASUS for that, though, because, like you said, it's
a tablet.
It's a tablet. Yeah, no, I mean, those apps haven't necessarily.
It's a tablet that looks like an ultra slim notebook. Yeah,
sure.
But the scrolling on here. Somebody wanted to see the scrolling for the.
Now, what I think is interesting. What I think is interesting.
Go into the task manager really quick. The way you get rid of stuff, just like on Ice Cream Sandwich, just swipe it over there.
What I think is interesting is the interaction when you have it in the dock and you want it to be a laptop, but you still are swiping and doing stuff on the screen.
Yes.
Because when we're on a laptop, we're so used to not touching the screen. Everything's being done with the keyboard and with the mouse. But here you're doing both.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
That's the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I think eventually the laptops have touch screens because we're getting so used to that.
Yeah, I think when I was doing the demo earlier, I started to touch, and it was hooked up to my monitor. I, at one point, reached up to my large monitor and tried to hit, and I'm like, oh, wait, no, it's on the tablet. But... I don't know why
this is
not working there. So, hello, Ron.
That's cool.
What is this? An electronic mail?
It's responsive. What are you, some kind of scientist?
Is this an instant message?
But what's neat, as we were looking before, is that, you know, you can hit home and you can go back on the home that side.
There's also a home button.
There's a home button on the keyboard that'll take you there. There's a back button, you know, like it'll do all that stuff. I mean, it's like...
There's actually a browser button, too.
If we hit the back button.
How's the quality of the touchpad?
The touchpad itself is, I had to play with the settings quite a bit to get it to what I wanted. It's not super great.
Yeah, I found that seems to be a big downside on all of these kind of dock type things where they try and emulate the keyboard is that the touchpad is nowhere near, even on the Chromebook.
Yeah.
I did not like the touchpad. It was frustrating to me.
When it works great, it works, but then every once in a while it's a little...
There
it's
you
a
go.
Little janky. Here we go. I'm using it right now.
That's what that button does. You can turn off the touchpad, which is interesting. So what's interesting is that I've never actually seen a cursor. Let's see if we can zoom in on this. I've never actually seen a cursor on a laptop.
Android tablet screen.
It's straight up.
Yeah.
So go to the browsers.
Just upload to the TV and do it this way.
Here we go. So we're tapping the browser. And there we go.
And I'm going to go to...
Now, if the 7-inch ASUS tablet for $250 comes out with a keyboard attachment, that's going to be a really tiny keyboard. I doubt they're going to do that, actually.
Yeah. So, see, it's okay, right?
That's cool.
It's not perfect, the trackpad, but it's okay. It's good enough.
Yeah.
So if you're doing some light work.
Yeah.
It kind of...
I mean, again, if I was a road warrior, if I was out on the road all the time, that's really tempting. It's really tempting.
And I imagine you could also hook up a mouse to that, right?
Yeah,
it's got
USB.
It has a USB port. Or you could just Bluetooth it into there.
Tech Asa 1 was asking me about Bluetooth. I don't have any Bluetooth accessories. I wish I could have tried some. But it's there. It's available.
I totally see on traveling, like you're on the road, you're insurance salesman, I don't know, whatever it is.
And you're a door-to-door salesman.
You've got to go to a meeting, you get this laptop, you go back to the hotel, you want to go to the gym, you pop off the tablet, go to the treadmill, watch Gossip Girl, go back, put it back on, start working. You know, like the small enough to fit on the tray on a plane, like, you know, when you're working. Like, this is really
I think
tempting.
You just created the perfect commercial for a suit.
I really did, yeah. I really did. Yeah.
So, again, some people had Wi-Fi issues, not me, and GPS issues, not me either. I had just latitude was fine, maps was fine, everything was fine. And I did upgrade the firmware the other day, because that upgrade to supposedly help the GPS issues came out. I updated and there was nothing wrong with mine. So I love this device. I would definitely say for hardcore and Android enthusiasts, definitely buy it. And if you believe like that study says that apps are coming to Android, then this is the tablet to buy. It's just I love this thing, and I'm going to try and figure out how to.
Well, it's small enough that you should.
You can see the. It's very small. Here's my MacBook Air compared to the Asus. It's kind of.
When it's closed in that clamshell, it really does look like one
like
of their
laptop.
Slimmer.
It is small enough that you should be able to fit into your purse when you leave tonight.
Absolutely,
that's all I'm saying.
It does.
I'm saying.
Yeah. This already fits in my purse, so you better believe that. I think.
And not come back with it.
Are you teaching me how to?
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that was.
I missed that the first time.
Wow. But I mean, again, the con is that it is kind of pricey, so there's a lot of people who can't afford.
If only we weren't recording this conversation.
I can edit it out later.
So that's the review of the Transformer Prime, and I love it. And I will still use it for my app in the arena. I'm hoping it gives it a little gleam.
A little edge
over these two guys.
I don't know. We'll see about that.
We'll see about that. All right, cool.
All right, you got the email, Eileen.
Oh, I do. Okay,
apparently the chat room said the dock is $150.
Yeah,
I've seen $200.
All right, that's just saying.
Well, some people are saying that they got it for $500 plus $150. Newegg.
That's what I mean. Like, there's various bundles. There's various vendors that are selling it for different prices. But along within those parameters.
It's definitely the hot tablet.
Okay, this email comes to Jason or from Jason, not our Jason or the
different
bomb.
Jason.
It's a total. I think it's.
I'm not the only Jason.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
There's one other.
He starts with "Hello, AAA team. I love to hear you guys fumble. We always fumble over how to say." MIUI. However, I can also identify with that. I had also for a time called MIUI, my UI. And
yeah,
was briskly corrected once by someone in Radio Shack of all places.
Yeah, wait a minute. You were corrected by someone in Radio Shack? I question your logic, sir.
So
I decided to find out for myself, and alas, I had been mistaken. MIUI is correctly pronounced MIUI.
MIUI. Yeah, he sent along a couple of links to a few official YouTube videos where they specifically say MIUI.
That's a totally great show. We should do a show where we just pronounce things.
This is MIUI.
And that's it. And then you're out. And then the graphics. And then, seriously.
That would be an easy show to produce.
Yeah,
it would.
So easy.
I can crank out a ton of those.
Well, this is addressed probably partly to you, Ron. We talked about transferring files. But secondly, I've listened to you folks talk about transferring files to the Zoom. I also have a Zoom and do not have to use any secondary app to transfer files to the internal storage or the SD card. I simply have installed the Motorola USB drivers onto my Windows 7 PC. And when I connect or dock my Zoom, it is automatically listed as a portable device. When I open it, lists internal storage and SD card. I have complete read-writability with both. I've noticed, however, when writing to the SD card through the Zoom, it is a bit slower than connecting it directly to the PC. This, I'm sure, is due to read-write limitations in the Android OS. I have also provided a link to the Motorola USB drivers and some PC screenshots at the bottom so you can see what I'm talking about. Note: the charging drivers will not work with the Zoom. Only use the USB drivers. This has worked fine with Honeycomb and works fine for me now with ICS as well. Just want to throw in also that I have enjoyed your show the past year. Keep up the good work. And at the time I write this, Ron is the undefeated champion of 2012 in the arena.
I am the undefeated champ.
And thank you very much for the feedback, Jason. Well, appreciate it.
But is this PC only? This is Windows only?
Yeah, it looks like Windows 7.
So I'm on OS X, as everyone hates me saying. See, on the pronunciation show, I would say OS X, not OS X. But it's interesting to note that. So
It's good. Thank you. We like these kinds of feedbacks and helpful advice from our listeners and viewers. So thank you, Jason. You, Jason, listener Jason, not this Jason.
Oh, come on, you can thank me. It's cool.
Well, at least this Jason respects my title as the champion of the arena this year.
I respect your title until suddenly you're taken down off of your
I got a lot to
throne.
Lose now. I'll be honest with you. I got a lot to lose.
All right, well, let's get to that. First, we have to jump into the app section before the arena. I almost wanted to jump right into the arena.
I almost did it.
Just to show you, Ron.
Well, you guys are both going to lose because I'm going to win. So, anyway.
I don't care as long as Ron loses.
Oh!
Wow.
Yeah.
I told you, everyone, you know, I tweeted it earlier. You guys are ruthless.
Okay, we'll bottle it up. We'll save it. We'll save it. It's only going to be 10 minutes before we're kicking his butt.
First, me and Sarah are in a cold war. Now, me and Jason. This is awful. I'm alienating everyone at Twit.
Well, let's, first of all, talk about a few things here. First, if you've been looking for an app that's been banned from the Android market, Koosh of CyanogenMod and also the creator of Clockwork Mod is actually working on an alternative market for just those apps, as well as housing custom ROMs, among other things. Things like gaming emulators, tethering apps, one-click routing apps. All of that is expected to be available once the CyanogenMod app store goes live. There's no release date yet. Has been announced. Nothing yet, but that's cool, and that makes a whole lot of sense.
I love it.
That's really.
That's
I mean, it makes
what
sense.
They should be doing,
it
right?
Makes sense. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
And that's going to be a big success. Obviously, yeah. I mean, if the CyanogenMod team comes out with something like this, I imagine they're going to have it built right into their ROM, and they're automatically going to have big success with it just based on that fact alone.
I love disruptive. I love disruptive. You know, you fine. You want to set rules? We'll do it. We'll work around it. You know, that's interesting. So cool.
Okay. Well, another piece of news here about Google Sky Map. It is officially open source. You guys, what do we think about that? I think they're kind of. I don't know if they're. It was on the list of sort of being discontinued with a bunch of other apps that Google has, but it's open source now.
Yeah.
So. It's and they're going to collaborate with Carnegie Mellon University to further develop SkyMap. I've got it here on the Asus. Can you see it, Chad? Is it too dark? It's too dark, huh?
Yeah, you can start. You see some constellations.
There were some constellations.
Yeah, SkyMap was one of the first apps that I installed when I first got my original Motorola Droid, and I definitely used it as a showcase for Android to friends and stuff. Especially a friend of mine who had an iPhone, and I was like, hey, check this out. And I'm sure there was an app like it on iPhone, but he was pretty impressed by it. And then, you know, it was one of those apps that I always installed when I flashed new ROMs. And then at some point, I just kind of stopped.
How often do you use it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It
unless
didn't really
astrology
have
nerd.
Much daily use for it. And then I stopped installing it. But it was always very cool. And if it's open sourced, then that means that a charged up kind of group of people are going to, you know, a charged up community of stargazers are going to continue to kind of pick out new constellations and new stars and log them into the system. That would be cool.
I didn't quite know about the time travel.
You can change the constellations,
that's
really cool. So you can be like, what were the stars like?
Yeah, next evening sunset, next full moon. Oh, next full moon. I'm going to go.
Can you go back like years or no?
I think you can go back.
Really?
Anyways, that's pretty cool.
That'd be really cool.
It's free, and you guys know it's been out in the marketplace for a long time. So.
Nice. Cool. Lovely. So another big app news in terms of when you think of like the internet sites and websites and things like that you live with that you can't live without. One of them for me is Wikipedia. How often you are in an argument you want to find the answer to. Let's go to Wikipedia. There hasn't been an official Wikipedia app. To find Wikipedia, I would search in the browser. I'd type in whatever I was looking for and wiki just to go straight to the Wikipedia. But now finally there's an official Wikipedia app that is now available for download. And it's actually pretty good. I mean, the waiting seems to have been worth it. You can save articles to be read later or offline. You can search articles that are nearby. Of course, there's the share functionality. You can read articles in the different languages, and there's full screen search. So looks like the Wiki Foundation finally made a pretty good Android app. So.
How'd you do with not having Wikipedia last Wednesday?
Yeah, no, it's all right. I survived.
Actually, didn't this launch on Wednesday?
I think it launched right after it, actually.
I had one moment where I forgot on Wednesday, and I was looking something up on Wikipedia, and it went black. I was like,
well, you just pressed escape, right?
I know that there was workarounds, but I was in the middle of doing something really like just stupid, and I just said, forget it. I can wait till tomorrow. Yeah. But
that's pretty cool. So as an often searched on the browser side, I've already installed this and we'll be using it.
Wikipedia, love it or hate it, is a good utility, reference point.
That's for sure.
Having an app directly to it makes it just a little bit easier to show people how smart you think you are.
That is sure. So before we get to the arena, we have one more email. This email comes from Chuck Ackerman, who writes in and says, it appears that you have a misunderstanding with regard to Eric Schmidt's comments about Google TV. At CES, you didn't see Google TV on more than half the TVs and downplayed his comment. I don't recall downplaying any comment, but still, that's...
I think we were wowed by his comment, but anyway.
It is my understanding that what he said at Le Web was, in 6 months, more than half of the TVs being sold will have Google TV on them. The key part of that statement is half the TVs sold. He was talking about the volume of sales, not the different number of brands or models will be installed on. All Google needs is to have Google TV on a few of the top TV models, and that could be half of TV sold. It doesn't have to be on half of the models of TVs, just the most popular. A few Vizio models and a few Samsung models that would cover half the TV sold. Keep up the good work. Regards, Chuck.
And Chuck, I mean, yeah, he has a point.
He's a point, but it's a nitpicky. I mean, yes, I mean, understood that TV sold, but in order for TVs to be sold, it needs to be available on the TVs. And so one step's got to happen first. I mean,
exactly.
I mean, I don't know the TV world super closely, but right. I would imagine that there aren't just two or three models that cover 60% of TVs sold.
Yeah.
There's a ton of TV models out there. In order for 60% to be reached, there has to be a large adoption of Google TV. But
they've already working with Sony, and Sony's got that internet TV, but Sony's got a bunch of TVs that don't have the internet stuff. Mm-hmm. He's right, you know, a Vizio, maybe a Samsung, although I doubt Samsung's going to do it because they have their smart TV platform. But, you know, a Vizio jumps on board, LG like we've seen, and that sort of thing, that will get the market. And yes, it will get to TVs sold, not TVs available, which is an important distinction, I guess, but it's still a little splitting hairs.
I still kind of think it's probably not going to be quite 60% when it all comes around.
We'll see.
But yeah, I thought that was an interesting point because I think in my head while we were at CES, I was kind of parsing it as, well, I wouldn't say that most of the TVs I saw here had Google TV. And it is true. He said sold. I guess we won't know until we know.
Yep.
And I'm sure we'll follow up on that. With that, let's get brutal. Let's jump into the arena. Come on.
Two enter, one lives. The Android Arena.
All right.
So
well,
I keep thinking we should update that. Three enter.
No, I've already put the call out, and I think he's working on it.
Yeah, Oh no, I mean, I see it every time. I'm like,
I know.
Three.
Well,
and I didn't even think about it when we first started doing that. But anyways.
We should find out who left, who was the victor last week.
I'm stalling here.
Yeah, aren't we stalling? Oh, man.
Man. So Ron
wins.
Jason,
you were really close, though.
Really close.
40%.
40%, 158 of the votes to Glimpse.
I am undefeated, aren't I?
For 2012?
Yes.
There haven't been that many episodes,
Ron. Dude, it is so early. It's how you finish.
Yeah.
You finish strong, people.
Yeah, we're giving you a false sense of security right now.
Possibly.
And then my app, Clockwork Mod Tether, came in second, close second, with 36% to your 40. Pixel Rain came in third, 24%.
What I find interesting is that I was able to win without taking America, without taking the United States.
Well,
I took Canada, I took the UK, I took a little bit of China.
And what I find interesting is
India. Of the Scandinavian countries this time. Yep. Thank you. I was wondering about that.
I got South Africa.
I got the U.S., and largely because we pay for tethering here, right?
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
you know, in a lot of other countries, you don't pay for tethering. So a tethering app is not nearly as much of a utility. Yep.
I got Romania.
China loves Glimpse.
They do.
India loves too. Boy, they're tracking everybody over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The UK, right. Canada.
So Ron wins, so he goes last. Again.
I lose. I
you
really
lose. You
lose.
Go first.
So I go first.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Okay, you know what? I just realized it would be awesome if I had the audio for my app. Is it too
Here,
late?
You, start, you start talking. I'll look for it.
Okay, well, my app is called... they both leave. It's called Osmos. And it... I knew about this last year. It's kind of late to the Android market, but... it is now available for Android. It's on sale now for $2.99. And Osmos is, let's see, I don't even know where to put. Oh, there we go. I'm like, where do I put the headphones?
Hopefully that's
this
the
thing?
Right audio,
I think
Jack.
It is, yeah.
This is a great demo. You're totally going to win.
I'm so going to win here. All right. It's a galactic kind of, it's a game, first of all. Again, $2.99 in the marketplace. Just released this year, and it's very galactic. And now let me show you how it is. So I'm going to launch Osmos HD. And you can also get it on your phone. I have it on my phone as well. Can you hear the audio by any chance? Not yet. Chad?
Not yet.
Okay.
This is a great demo.
Best with headphones. All right. So now you can hear it's very soothing. This is one of those games that I love to play to soothe me. And so I'm going to go into arcade mode, and I'll show you some of the basic games here. And basically, it is you're in survival mode. You want to be the biggest blob in the universe. And to do that, you just kind of press and you move your organism to envelop other smaller organisms until you are the most giant one. You can pinch and zoom and see all the other organisms out here.
Wow.
Now, those red little organisms there, you don't want to get. Those are bigger than you, so you want to go away from those.
That's cool.
But you just kind of spend...
It's kind of asteroids-ish.
Very kind of asteroid-ish. And it's got that sort of space agey. See how you envelop? I play this on planes when I'm nervous because, you know, and I don't like flying. I can't talk about that before.
That's Jason snoring, by the way. It's not me.
No.
I'm just,
what?
Yeah.
What?
You're not,
where am I?
You're not, you're not mocking my game here?
No. The music is very soothing.
I feel like this would be an Epcot.
Yes.
This is their description on the marketplace. Absorb or be absorbed. Enter the Darwinian world of galactic mode. To survive, absorb smaller organisms and grow, but beware of larger predators.
So it's like Spore.
It kind of is a little bit like Spore.
Remember Spore? Remember all the fervor for Spore? Sorry.
And you can kind of speed up the game and whatnot.
Does it just do this?
Yeah, well, there's other. Does it just do this? There's other games here as well. Let me go ahead and exit to menu. Let me show you some other type of games here. The antimatter game, and basically, you want to make sure you're not annihilated by this thing.
Matter plus antimatter equals annihilation.
And then you can kind of, oh boy, hello.
Oh, that's cool.
Float around. There's other universe-type things. Here, let me get out of this as well. Let me exit that. Let me show you a different mode here. The Odyssey mode. What I want to show you is a different level here.
What I want you to do is to close your eyes.
You're on a beach.
This is an awesome game, you guys.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's very cool.
Look at the possibilities on a tablet and finally made it to Android. Oh my God, it's been on iOS for a year. But this is not the one. There's another one where there's like a circle in the middle, and it's kind of like you're circling and circling. You're trying to chase and be the biggest blob. That's really the point of this whole thing. But it's a soothing game. Graphics are great. The music is great.
I feel like I'm in the elevator at W.
Do you?
W Hotel. Music.
And then there's many things here. You can change the kind of music here. The artists that are on Osmos. I guess you can actually purchase.
Oh, I see. You like this music?
If you like this
go
music,
get their
go
music.
Ahead and purchase. Right. So, anyways, there's lots of time warping on here. Lots of different kind of gameplay. I swear, if you're the kind of person like me who likes sort of space agey kind of things like this, and would like to be relaxed, I think you'll like this mode.
I don't know how I follow your review.
It is crazy tired. Trippy. I'm going to play while you guys sim.
Yeah, get zen and as you prepare for your loss.
Suddenly, I'm going to be doing my review.
One of the best games.
And Eileen's going to be like levitating behind us.
It's the theme.
Okay, well, I think that looks like a pretty cool game.
That's a really cool game.
That's Osmos $299. That's a sale price.
I'm so mad at you, Ron.
$299.
Yeah, it's a sale price right now. So go and get it now if you
$299,
want.
Huh? Mine is 99 cents.
Oh!
I still am not convinced that the cost really affects votes in the Android arena.
It's the quality.
I think it does.
It's the quality.
I think it does.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. If we go back to TechCase, go in and analyze to see if how many apps
crunch the numbers.
Yeah.
Games that didn't go anywhere. Right?
All right. So I.
Wow.
For free apps. Sorry.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I didn't mean to come out.
It took less than a year for it to get mean.
So I chose an app, actually, from a fan of the show who sent in. We did get a decent amount of, you know, fans that are developers say, hey, check out my app, this one, that one. This one is thanks to Peter Daly, P-E-T-E-R-D-A-L-Y on Twitter. And his app is a 99-cent app called Shot Control. It definitely came out after the 1st of January of this year. And it's a camera app. And I think what convinced me about it right off the top was just kind of the screenshot that you see there. It just kind of it drew me in. This is a kind of one of those things, you know, marketing your app in the Android marketplace. It's really good to grab screenshots that are enticing. And there was something about it's probably the pictures that he has there that just looked so artistic. And maybe, you know, some of the UI elements on the app are kind of in flux and could possibly, you know, need some work. But overall, this seeing kind of the images in the market really pulled me in. So I had to download it and try it out. And I'm happy that I did because it's a great camera app. And so I'll kind of show you the differences, the things that make it a little bit different. First of all, what you have here, and I'll actually just pick it up here, is you have your kind of viewfinder window right here. The thing I really like about this and things that are really hard in camera apps in general a lot of the times is that there's so many settings, but it's really hard to tweak them on the fly. If you're pulling out your camera and you want to make a quick adjustment, sometimes you have to hit a button, go into settings and all that kind of stuff. So if your exposure is low, it's up and down on this side. It's this kind of circular rocker right here. If you want to zoom, it's that side. And I don't know, it just, when you're using it to take pictures of random things, it's very easy to just kind of, oh, well, I need to add a little bit of brightness and do it on that side. I don't use digital zoom a whole lot, so that isn't as big a deal to me, but it's nice to have it instantly accessible. And then you have up here, you have your kind of different modes. Now, this is where I think he's kind of working on some of the UI elements, and I'm sure that eventually they'll kind of land and be a little better. But I like some of what he's working on here. So take focus, for example. You hit focus, and then this bottom area down here is kind of a slider that allows you to select pretty quickly the different modes. Depending on what you want to do with your picture. And as it lands on these different modes, the camera automatically switches over. So it's pretty easy to just kind of put it, drop it into macro, hit the focus button. Let's see if I can do this and have you actually see something. Hit the focus button. Hey, is it in macro? Yeah, I think I'm a little off here. Oh sorry. There we go. Sorry, that little blurry thing up there is the focus. And then so I've got it. If I wanted to adjust the white balance, I just hit that, go to daylight, boom, it's automatically there. If I wanted to adjust the ISO, it's just very easy to fly in and make those adjustments on the fly. Turn that off, filter. You can do different filters on the fly as well. You know, it has a lot of the same features as other cameras, but I like kind of the layout of it. And I really kind of think that as it comes along, these elements are going to get a little bit more intuitive. Sometimes these pictures up here, I think they aim to be more intuitive than they actually end up being. This one is actually take a picture and you get your preview down there as well. This one doesn't always say to me, you know, focus or not. It does when you actually kind of look at it. But anyways, and you know, he was very responsive. He got back in touch with me after I had bought the app through the store. And I was just very frank with him and, you know, said, I really like the app. There are a few things, you know, that are missing from it. Didn't have front-facing camera support. And he actually added that in before the review.
Nice.
So now it has front-facing camera support. Of course, I've got a fancy effect on right now.
Oh, no. Woo! I like infrared.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah. He also added a feature that I don't see in camera apps that I actually I would like to see in more camera apps, and that is a no confirm delete. And the reason being, especially with this new phone, skip delete confirmations. With this phone, with the Galaxy Nexus, it can take pictures really fast for the most part. So your tendency is to snap a bunch of pictures, right? And then when it comes to like picking them, if I go into my gallery here and I want to delete, you know, I'm taking a look at this one and I know I don't want that. Usually on all the other galleries, I have to hit the delete and then hit OK for every single one. And I mentioned that to him, and I understand why developers might not want this because they don't want you to accidentally delete something that you're then going to blame them for because you didn't have a confirmation. So it's a setting that you can activate, but now I can just go in and I can delete it. Maybe eventually, you know, it'll pop up a thing and say image deleted so that you know that you just deleted it. He's also talked about possibly integrating a recycle bin so that when you delete it, it goes into a temporary
That'd
spot.
That'd be cool. That'd
and
be
then
cool.
you can go in and retrieve it. But I just, that's been really handy with this, with the camera on this phone, because then I can manage my gallery as I go, and it's not such a bear to do. Having to, you know, click two times to delete everything. So overall, I really like where it's headed. And I chose this app because I think if this is where it's starting, I see good things for it. And I understand kind of what he's trying to do with this app is kind of make these things really easy on the fly to make those settings changes. And I like that in a camera app because there are so many settings. It's really hard to manage them.
And it's interesting when we're looking in this category of new apps that there are kind of almost two areas that they can come from. They're either ported from another platform, you know, like much low, the one I'm about to show is ported from iOS, or not ported, but, you know, it already existed in another marketplace, or from scratch. And the potential is unlimited to see what bugs happen or what changes, or people use the app differently, and, you know, to see it grow. And so you're getting it kind of like, it's like watching a pilot episode almost.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat. Yeah.
Totally. Cool. Totally. So that is Shot Control. And thanks again to Peter Daly for sending us a tweet. I think I saw this on Twitter too, at Android Show. I had a lot of fun with this, and I'm going to continue using it. It's 99 cents in the Android market. Check it out, Shot Control.
Awesome.
Before you go, Ron, just really quickly, my app, there is a demo version. So there's a free version that you could try before buying, just if you want to try it and see. Yeah. If you're like, oh, I don't want to try this, $2.99, try the free version first.
All right, cool. All right, so my app now, as the leader, I'm going last, and this is my arena to lose. And funny story, I had picked an app. I had done some pretty good research, and I actually carved away time over the weekend and searched to try to find an app that would keep my streak going. And I picked it and loaded it, and then right around what was like around noon or so today, Jason put his Sherlock Holmes hat on, did some detective work, and realized that my app was probably about a month and like 5 days old. It had comments.
It was December 19th.
So it had comments going back to December 19th, so it wouldn't have applied. Now, as I said in our prep meeting earlier, if it was me, I would have kept my mouth shut and then hijacked Jason's review.
Do you see what's becoming of which... us? We're starting to be really ruthless now.
Now I'm wishing I had done that.
Yeah, now you're like, I'm not going to tell him next
as
time.
I said,
Jason was so nice, and Ron's like, I wouldn't have said anything.
The difference between my East Coast, you know, kind of, you know, like, you know, got to look out for yourself, and Jason's kind of, you know, middle America, kind of, you know, like, he's a nice guy. He's a much nicer guy than I am. Trust me, Jason's a bit nicer guy than I am. So at the last minute, I did a switcheroo.
Which is a good thing, because you'd be losing right now if you had.
Yeah, exactly. Which would be great. So, but thank you, guys. Thank you, Jason. I owe you one. So,
just remember that.
Anyway,
I
probably should have kept my mouth shut about the hijacking, shouldn't I?
Hey, at least you were honest about that. We got all.
So the app I found is actually similar to Jason's, but slightly different in that it is a camera app. I was trying to steal a page from Eileen's book as I was analyzing 2011, and a lot of times you won were with fun little camera apps. In fact, I used PicPlease that you came up with, so the app I am looking at today is actually, it's an app that's been on the iOS platform for a little while, and it's unfortunately named, I'll give it that, but it is called Hipster, and Eileen loves the name for some reason.
Look at his shirt.
Because I'm wearing a lower hater.
Hipster.
I live in Lower Haight. I'm sorry. I'm not a hipster. Anyway. Let's not let the name detract from the app. So what it is it's basically this honestly is the – since Instagram seems to not like us on Android.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
I feel like this is going to be the closest to an Instagram-esque application. Actually, it's really pretty neat. What it is it's a photo application and a social network kind of model where you can have friends and followers. You take photos, and then you can apply a different filter to it, and you can also – it also uses location. And basically what it does is it turns your photos into virtual postcards. And it will apply the location of where you are in text on top of the photo along with the filter, post it to Hipster, as well as you can post it to Twitter, to Foursquare, to Facebook, to Flickr, to all these other various. They've done a great job of linking it in. But the reason why I like it is because it's also really pretty. It's a really pretty app. And so I have it up here, Chad, if you want to show it off. So there we go. We can see my phone. There we go. So we just go hit the app. and it loads up. And so here you can see, this is a photo I took last night at Mezzanine when I saw Stella live.
Nice.
And it laid in the text there. It said where I was. And I see my strip of postcards from my friends. So I see, you know, MG was in Paris and then he was in California and, you know, kind of neat stuff there.
Is he the only one posting?
Yeah, well, of my friends, yeah. Well, no, I had like 20 friends that were using it, but he's the only one who's been using it recently. And then you can scroll to see what's nearby. Unfortunately, there's nothing nearby. But then you can also see other postcards from around the world, which is kind of neat. And then there's a bunch of more other stuff. It's a very pretty app. It's very well designed. You can get the settings from here, and you can see my name and my email address. That's public. I don't care. What's neat is that you can. So let's say we want to post the postcard. So we just go hit the camera button here, and basically, it's skipped that one.
Oh, look at me.
That's not what I wanted. Go away. Okay, hit the camera button. And it will give you the option to normally it will give you an option to take a picture or to pick one from the gallery. I picked this photo that I took of Eileen from the gallery. And then along here, you can select the different filters and postcard designs. And you can see it's subtly here, but it's giving in the location in text. And I'll go to the bigger one. See, and right now it thinks it's in First America title, Petaluma, but I'm going to change that. So I'm going to go to location. You know, and it loads various locations. I believe it's pulling from Foursquare to find the stuff. So I wonder if the Twit Brick House is actually here or not.
Well, it is in Foursquare. Sometimes you just have to type in Twit and then it comes up.
So we're going to find out. There it is.
There it is. Well, so there's the sumo bag. The weekly production meeting. Where's the Brick House?
There it is.
There
Brick House Studios.
Wow, we have a lot of things in this building.
We have a lot of things you could check in.
Yeah. So Twit Brick House Studios. And then now the only criticism I would have for it right now is that it's really only as good as the filters and different layouts that it has. So if you don't have one that you don't like, then you're going to have a hard time using this app. But there are enough in here that are really kind of cool. And so you find the postcard design that you like the most. And I'm going to find, just pick one for the hell of it. So I'm going to go for this one. And you hit OK. And then what you can do is when you hit OK, you can add a note. So you can kind of say, I'm with Eileen and Jason doing whatever. And you can choose where you want to send it to. For right now, I have it automatically set to post to Facebook as well as to Twitter. And you can also direct it towards your friends. So you can almost directly send it to another friend who's on Hipster. So that's pretty cool. So I'm going to hit send postcard.
Oh, you could just select one person to send it to.
Yep.
And then nobody else will see it.
Yep, exactly. So, and here you see it's uploading. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. So I don't know whether it's completely private or not. I haven't done that or not.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it still goes to your stream.
Okay, and then somebody can go to your stream and see that. Okay.
Exactly. But so now if you were to go to my Twitter or go to my Facebook page, you'd see that it also posted here as well as it's posted in the application. So it's neat. I mean, but the thing is, it's burgeoning. It's not, you know, like it hasn't hit critical mass. It by no means does it have as many people on as Instagram or some of those other photo sharing apps that are out there. But, you know, that's how people use it. You know, now it's available. It's like, I think it's like 4 days old on Android. So you heard it here first. So get on Hipster, start sharing postcards and photos, and you can make it, you know, then when you go to find friends, you'll see there are more friends. And if you can ignore the title of the app, you'll realize that this is a winner. And it's free. That's the most important thing. It's absolutely free. So there you go.
Are you going to add me as a friend?
If you're on it. Are you on it?
Just add it.
Fine. God.
Hurry up and add me as a friend, dude. All right. Well, there
you go. Peer pressure. All right. So that is Hipster. You now have the chance to vote for your favorite app from this week. Is it Osmos, Shot Control, or Hipster? Go to bit.ly/44pullAAA. That's bit.ly/44pullAAA and vote for your favorite app on today's episode. So far, Osmos is out in an early lead.
Osmos
Shot Control
away.
And Hipster are tied for second. Osmos still pulling away with 8 votes. Shot Control taking second and possibly getting close to Osmosis.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God, it's a...
this is going by really fast right now. This is insane.
A lot of votes.
Here we go.
People are just waiting for that link.
I know.
And then once it happens, bam. Wow. I love this site.
This site is really cool.
It's cool to see it on the fly. And Hipster's in third place.
All
sorry.
Right, well.
Uh-oh. Well, we'll see where that lands.
We'll see how your streak.
I believe it has strength in the long tail.
I see.
Yeah, once this hits the feeds, I think this is really going to turn.
As more people sign up for it.
Hey, man, even if I lose this week, I'll still be winning. So, yeah,
Well, that's true. That is true. Next week, Eileen, you are sitting on a beach.
I will be sitting on a beach in Hawaii, so I'm sorry I won't be here.
Jealous.
That sounds so nice.
Playing Osmos. And
oh wait, but you're gonna get the Plantec tablet and go
right,
snorkeling.
And
right,
I will
in the pool though, in the hotel pool, not the salt water.
Right, no salt water. Good. Thank you very much. So I apologize for not being here, but sometimes you just gotta
take a break. You know,
sometimes you gotta take a vacation.
Sometimes you gotta take a vacation. Believe me, I understand. Someday I will take a vacation too. It'll be great.
I know.
Well, so we're gonna be without you. We'll find a awesome host to fill your slot. Of course, nobody could fill your slot, but we'll try our best.
I don't like missing the show. It's like the one show I don't like to miss.
Oh, yeah. Really? Despite the animosity?
Oh, please.
That's why.
That's why I'm here to fight, you know? I'll be back.
All right. Well, I hope so. So I guess that's it for this week. I suppose we're done and totally on time. This is great.
No way.
Because we're professionals. That's why. Yeah. Professional podcasters. Thank you very much.
Did our zenness stay?
Exactly. Yeah, no, we're
staying. Chad, do you think our zenness stayed?
I think so.
You really?
All right.
I think the zen happened through
the
whole show.
This is a magical week, I think. Yeah. You know,
magical.
We had the email. We had the emailer in the studio. Yeah. We had, you know.
What was the word that they, enchanting. For the ice cream sandwich? Were we enchanting?
I would say this is enchanting. Don't say it like that. That's creepy. But it was enchanting.
We were enchanting. Sorry.
All right, Ron, go for it.
So if you like my shenanigans, you can find me online. Go to about.me/RonXO and you get links to my Twitter and my Facebook and all the other fun places where I like to play on the internet, including ifanboy.com, which is the comic book blog that I help run, as well as graphly.com, which is the digital comic site that I work by day. And we've got some great Android apps that you should check out on the Nook and Amazon and Android Marketplace. They're all in there. Just search for Graphically.
And Eileen.
You can find me on Twitter at EileenTV.
Now, even you could find you in front of the Transformer.
You can find me in front of the Transformer or about.me/EileenRose, EileenRose.
Or on Google Plus at g+.to/EileenTV.
There too.
Zen.
And I'm Reagan01 on Twitter. You can also find me at about.me/ Jason Howell. That's it for this week. Thanks so much for tuning in, you guys. Send us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Hit us up on email, which you can also do a video mail. We would love to see that. AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. The show is @AndroidShow. You can find all of our show notes at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday. Let's just start saying 5:30 because, quite frankly,
yeah,
that's when we start.
That's when we really start.
5:30 is when the show starts. PM Pacific at live.twit.tv. We'll see you next Monday for another episode of All About Android. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Stay real.
Stay classy.
Stay classy.
See, this is the level I wanted to show you guys with the big, huge sun.